Hey guys, so because we are looking to continue with Perek Chaf and jump into the Aseret Hadibrot as soon as possible, I wanted to take just a few minutes to wrap up our discussion of Perek Yotet so that we can then move on. So I'm going to do a quick chazara from some of what we did today, and then I'm going to add a couple of sources, which I think are actually pretty amazing. And they're amazing because a number of the Mekorot, a number of the sources that we are quoting in Shi'ur, I've heard quoted many times before, and Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing, as you continue in your lives, you'll hear on future occasions as well. But what I'm going to quote the Midrashim that I'm going to share with you after that, I think are really quite unique and really very fascinating. And take the image of God, of Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Kafal Liam HaKigigit, of turning the mountain over the Jew's head, actually turning it upside down, ironically, because it's already upside down. So it's almost paradoxical or impossible, but you'll see. And it's actually pretty remarkable, and I think even inspiring, as I'd like to share with you in this discussion. So just very quickly to recap. So what were the major discussions we had here in the second part of Perek Yotet of Shemot? So in addition to all the earlier discussions that we had that we were on the previous test, we discussed two major issues that arise in the Farshim. The first one was the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu added one day on his own, and the whole question of 2 to 3 days or 3 to 4 days and all of that. That's number one. And number two is the question of the meaning of Vayitzvu B'tachtid Hahar, which appears in Perek Yotet Pasuk Yud Zayin. So let's focus on that. So just to quickly recap. So we know that on the one hand we said that Pshuto Shel Mikra, that the face reading of the Pshat of the Pasuk is simply that the Jewish people stood at the foot of the mountain. And yet, as Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shabbat on Daf Pei Ched Amud Aleph, that this means, Rashi says, that the mountain was uprooted from its place and turned over them like a barrel, or perhaps a beer barrel, some sort of barrel. We said this is an amazing image, and the Gemara makes it very clear. The Gemara, again, Shavan Daf Pecher Malab, from which Rashi draws this midrashic tradition, makes it very clear that, in fact, this was a form of basically what we call religious coercion. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compelling, was obligating the Jews, seemingly against their will, to accept the Torah, to the point that the Gemara goes so far as to seem to suggest that, in fact, based on this action alone, the Jews would have been exempted from the Torah. Because imagine for a second, right? If you're in a business deal, and we talked about this in class, and someone sticks a gun to your head, and you agree to go through whatever the trade might be, is that really going to count? I mean, seriously? You know? So some people thought maybe yes. But I was skeptical. And Gemara, at least when it comes to Matan Torah, is skeptical, because Gemara says that from here the Jews have an out. They have an excuse. They have a way of saying, you know what? We don't have to keep the Torah. So we're good to go. So you don't have to worry about us. This is a shocking midrash. The second shocking one, right, that we've seen, these rashis, right? At least in the midrashic tradition, right? Moshe Rabbeinu adds a day on his own, and now all of a sudden, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayitzatzvu, Tachtirahar, means that Akadosh Baruch Hu is turning the mountain over the Jews like a beer barrel and compelling them to accept the Torah. We even said that it's not just that the mountain was over them, we said it's like almost claustrophobic, right? Imagine a beer barrel, right, and completely enclosing you. And the Gemara actually, in its language, is very interesting. We'll come back to this in a moment. The Gemara actually says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jews, either you accept the Torah now, and then all will be well, or, right, Sham Yeh Kivuratchem, there will be your burial place. That is intense. That sounds like real religious coercion. And many of the Farshim were very troubled by this Gemara. Is this really possible? Is it really plausible that the Torah was compelled? So what we saw is that the Kli Yakar has a discussion of this. We discussed it in Shir as well. Kli Yakar has 2 points. He says it cannot be that the Gemara means what it seems to be saying. He says, number one, it cannot be because we know that there's another Gemara, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Bet, which is actually raised in Shir. And that's a classic presentation of the Gemara, says that, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the Torah to all different nations. And every single nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to said, nah, it's not for me, telling me not to murder, telling me not not to do arayot and all these different things. Forget about it. This Torah stuff, it's just not for me. And then finally, but only then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Jewish people to give them the Torah. So says the Kli Yakar, hold on one second. If you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah, so then why couldn't he do the same thing to the other nations of the world? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu go to them? And when they said, I'm sorry, this whole murder thing doesn't work for me, Hashem should have said, well, guess what, right? That's going to be your problem, because I'm holding the mountain over your head, and if you don't accept this, boom, 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 you're done, right? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu force them, right? Elamai, in other words, rather what must be that the Jews accepted it, right? Not because it was coerced, but rather because they chose to accept it. They wanted to accept it. That's Kliyakar question number one. Question number two, as we also pointed out in Shir, is that you don't even need to ask from the Gemara of Razara, from another teaching of Chazal. The Psukim themselves raise a basic problem for this, because what happened earlier in the Perek. Perek Yizayin Pasuk Tet, a full nine Psukim. A full nine Psukim before ours. For Pasuk Yizayin, in which, after Moshe Rabbeinu relays the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'd like to give you the Torah, Klal Yisrael's response is, sure, bring it on. Sounds great to us. Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Na'asa, whatever Hashem says, we will do. Not Na'asa V'nishma, that appears in Perek Chavtala, the end of Parshat Mishpatim, and there's a debate whether that is a different episode or the same episode, or happen at Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, but whatever it might be, the Jews seem to accept the Torah willingly. So if that's the case, ask the Kli Yakar question number two, right? Not only based on the story in Rozarav about HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to the different nations, but also, even from the Psukim themselves, it sounds like the Jews accepted it freely. Elamai, rather what, says the Kli Yakar, and this is our first, the answer, one possible explanation of this Gemara. There may be others as well, and there are variations on this theme. The Kli Yakar is one of the Farshim here at Altar, we mentioned, Rav Ephraim Lunshitz, 17th century, and so the Kli Yakar says, no, the Gemara doesn't really mean to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally forced it upon the Jewish people. That's not possible. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is like this. We all know that without Torah, we are nothing. We don't have life. There's no mission. There's no sense of purpose for Klal Yisrael. We're like Rabbi Akiva, right? Fish out of water. Or for those who are familiar, is a classic story about Rabbi Akiva and the Romans and the Gemara in Brachot and Daf Sanach Bet to Sanach Gimel. So, says the Kli Yakar, right, that's what the Gemara has in mind. The Gemara does not mean literally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Jews to accept the Torah. That's not possible. Rather, what the Kli Yakar says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael is, look, right, if you don't accept this, you can do whatever you want. It's up to you. But just know that without this, Shem Tehe Kivuratchem, this is the secret to your survival. Without the Torah, you are not going to make it. Without passing your traditions from generation to generation, from parent to child, to the next, to the next, to the next, you're dead. It's over. So just know what you're choosing. It's fine. It's really up to you. But just know, this is essential to the lifeblood of the Jewish people. That's what the Gemara means to say. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally forced them to accept the Torah. It's a beautiful explanation. Okay. Ad kan, what we said in Shir. What I want to add now is a different angle. There are other explanations of the meaning of the Gemara, and we're not going to go through all of those. But I did want to share with you something that's not very well known. This is, I think, unbelievable. And I heard this from a rabbi who was at Yeshiva University and lives actually pretty close to my family in Teaneck, pretty much around the corner, and someone that I personally have developed a close relationship with. His name is Rabbi J.J. Schachter. This is a different person than another very special person at Yeshiva University, the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Herschel Schachter. Those who have heard the name, this is a different person, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, or Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter. He's a rabbi doctor. he was a shul rabbi for many years, and he actually does some amazing training programs and gives drashos to rabbis, gives over different ideas that that they can find that might inspire them, that they can in turn share with their communities, with their kehilos. So I heard the following from him. He once pointed out that in fact there is a counter series of midrashim. And I'll share with you guys the source sheet. It's really incredible. So for example, all these psukim and all these midrashim, the psukim come from Shir HaShirim, which is the love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Right? It's a man and woman, but it's taken by Chazal, taken by the rabbis, as a metaphor for the loving relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, but the midrashim are pretty much all there in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, just like there's a midrash Rabbah on the five books of the Torah, of Chamisha Chamshei Torah. So similarly, there's Shir HaShirim Rabbah, just like there's Kohelet Rabbah. And these are all midrashic collections written on each of these svarim. So in Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph, I believe, of Shir HaShirim, you have a phrase that says as follows: Tachat Hatapuach Orarticha, under the apple tree I awakened you. Right. So Pashup Shat in just the Psukim is it's talking about this romantic, loving relationship between the man and the woman. Fine, but what's the Nimshal? What does it represent? What does it stand for? Says Midrash Shir HaShirim, Dorash Paltionish Romi. There was this previously unheard of rabbi, darshan, person from Rome, Palatyon, the man of Rome, a Roman man, the Amar, and he said, and apparently it was in Hebrew, not in Latin, so we still have a fighting chance, at least I do, right? Unless your Latin skills are up to a level that mine are not. What did he say? Nitlash Har Sinai? Har Sinai was ripped up. Right? What does this sound like? Right? Kafali and Hargigi, it's like the same thing. The Nitzav Bishmi Marom, and was held up in the heavens. The Hayu Yisrael Nitunin Tachtav, and the Jewish people were literally placed right underneath the mountain. It's the same Midrashic tradition, it would seem. Shneamar, as it says, quoting a Pasuk, not ours, Vayatzvu V'tachter Har, but rather quoting a Pasuk in Dvarim, where the Torah in Ve'aschanan recounts the story of Matan Torah, Vatakrivun Vatamtun Tachter Har. You approached and stood underneath the mountain. Very similar sort of drasha. What's the problem, or what's fascinating about this midrash, is not so much just what it says, but also A, what it does not say, and B, the context. Let's tackle both of those. What does it not say? It does not say that Kodesh Baruch Hu coerced the Jews to accept the Torah. It just simply says that Har Sinai was uprooted and just stood in the heavens and the Jews were underneath it. That's all it says. It doesn't go on to say, and Kodesh Baruch Hu forced the Jews to accept the Torah. That's number one. And number two is the context. This is Shir HaShirim. This is not, as we would say, Yira, fear, awe, reverence of Kodesh Baruch Hu, but this is Ava, this is love of Hashem. So says the Midrash that what, on the comment, specifically in the Pasuk, in context of Shir HaShirim, on the verse of Tacharata Puach Urarticha, right? I woke you up under an apple tree, right? This is a romantic imagery, right? What is this? One might suggest, for example, we're not 100% sure, maybe Har Sinai here is almost like a chuppah, right? Or it's like a tapuach, it's like a meeting place, right? Between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Klal Yisrael, between Hashem and his beloved people. This is, in other words, an ironic, and again, sort of backwards or paradoxical, upside down of an upside down, right? It's meta, it's intense, it's really interesting, right? Basically, it's turning upside down the notion that the mountain was turned upside down. It's not that we were thereby forced to accept the Torah against their will, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, and Rashi made that Gemara famous, right? But this Midrash says, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu turned the mountain over the head of the Jewish people in one way or another as a show of love for Klal Yisrael, maybe even as a chuppah, maybe even as a marriage, which is part of the symbolism of Shir HaShirim. And Chazal understand that Har Sinai, Matan Torah, is compared to Kiddushin. It's the first stage in the process of marriage, right? That's Maseches Kiddushin. It's based on that. Unbelievable thing, right? Excuse me, sorry. I misspoke. Let me correct that. Sorry. According to many sources, Yitzias Mitzrayim, rather, would be the Kiddushin. And right, or the Erusin, and Matan Torah would be the Nisuin, right? So that would be the sort of the culmination of the marriage, right? So this is sort of the romantic, you're bringing into the chuppah. So we have the chuppah, it's for Nisuin, it's for that second stage of marriage, giving the ring under the chuppah. Those who have seen that, that's stage one, and standing under the chuppah, or taking her to be one's spouse, one's loving wife, is the, right, that's step number two. That's one midrash. And then, similarly, and there is much more where this came from, so if you find these not to be compelling enough, I've got another three or four midrashim that I can throw at you. But my Sfaris source sheet, I thought it was enough to just give two. So, going with the Sfaris source sheet, don't tell all Torah. Okay? Or Buzzy. Wait, Buzzy, I don't know what you're holding. Like, is it the Al Torah issue, or was it like the internet issue? Maybe it was the internet issue. Okay, you'll have to tell us and share. Anyhow, so Shir HaShirim Rabbah, also another midrash, says as follows. Rabbi Akiva Potar, Rabbi Akiva explained the Pasuk, Karya, the Pasuk, Bi Yisrael, I'll explain what Pasuk in a moment, it's about to quote it, Bi Yisrael, with regard to Klal Yisrael, the time that they stood before Har Sinai. What pasuk did he explain in this way? Is a reference to Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah. Says the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Bet pasuk Yudalid, Yonati b'chagvei hasela. My dove, a dove, hidden in the cleft of the rock. In the cleft of the rock, right? In like the corner, right? In the protected area underneath the rock. Shehayu chavoyin b'sitro shel Sinai. That they were hidden in the secret part of Sinai. Unbelievable. Listen to this. Says the Midrash that the same image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding the mountain over the Jewish people is a reference to, again, a romantic image. Yonati b'chagvei hasela, when dove hidden in the cleft of the rock. What does that mean? They were hidden in the secret part of Sinai. So again, what exactly does that refer to? So one way to see the Midrash, understand the Midrash, is that it's saying that there was some sort of like a special hiding place. You know? It's like kids growing up, as it were, lahavdil, right? And they have like their special hideout, right? Like in the treehouse or something like that, in the forest, whatever it might be, right? Or, as other midrashim seem to say even more explicitly, actually no. What it means is very simple, right? The Jews received the Torah, right, during the daytime, some part of the daytime. Where? In the Sinai Desert. Okay? What time of year? Right? During, basically, right, what we would call, I don't know, late May, early June, right? Late spring, right before the summer. It's hot. It can get very hot. Even if it was early in the morning, it still can get really, really uncomfortable. And who knows how long they were standing out there, right? Because it's quite the thunder and lightning show, right? It's quite the display. Who knows? It might have taken hours and hours. Could well be. What happened here? One shot in the Midrash is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the Jewish people were comfortable. Unbelievable. That they weren't too blazing hot, right? This is incredible. Because Baruch Hu wanted to make sure, not that the Jews were coerced to accept the Torah, but rather that as they accepted the Torah, they were comfortable. They were sitting inside the shade. Not a demon, okay? In the tzel, in the shade. What a beautiful, gentle, inspiring image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his beloved Klal Yisrael, making sure that at the time of the marriage, as it were, at the time of the Nisuin, that people are comfortable. I don't know if anyone has ever been to an outdoor wedding during the summertime at any point. I've been to a whole bunch. They can be brutal. And then the clouds come out, right? And all of a sudden, right, the sun isn't beating down on you. It's just a little bit more comfortable for the guests, right? So maybe that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, had in mind here for Klal Yisrael. So it turns out that there's another midrashic tradition that Rabbi Schachter pointed out that is not widely known, that you now know the secret of. That maybe, just maybe, in addition to the classic midrash that sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning the mountain over the head of the Jewish people as a sign of yira, of religious coercion, of obligating them to accept the Torah, and then the difficulties we had with that, and then the Kliyakar's explanation, and that's one shot. And that should not be overlooked, by the way, because the larger point, perhaps, is that, yes, there's yira. And actually, there's a Chidush Harim, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, who actually makes the point, and he says, look, the Jewish people, right, are obligated. We know we should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, and we should say Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to remind the Jewish people, says the Chidush HaRim, that at the same time, even when they're not feeling it, even when they're not feeling connected, there's Yira, right? There's saying, you know what? I got to do what I got to do, even when I'm not feeling connected. And then ultimately, God willing, one day I'll feel, you know, feel that sense of connection. If I stop doing it now because I'm not feeling it, then it's done. Right? If I'm in a relationship with someone and I say, well, today I'm feeling love and tomorrow I'm not. So today we're married and tomorrow not. Or today you're my girlfriend and tomorrow you're not. That's not how you build a loving and committed long-term relationship. That's not healthy. That's not what we do, right? That's just not, right? That's not how we relate to people that we really care about in any part of life, a family, a friend, in a personal relationship, whatever it might be, right? So that's all one shot, right? But the alternative is that no. Maybe Kafalim Harkagigis or a similar kind of idea, imagery, is not just about the Yira, but it's actually about the Ava. It's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shir Hashirim. It's a Tachas HaTapuach Urarticha. It's about Yonati B'Chakvei HaSela. It's about the Chuppah. It's about the Nisuin. It's about finding a cleft, a hiding place in the rock for the beloved. It's about giving just a little bit of shade to make Klal Yisrael just a little bit more comfortable on their wedding day. All in all, these midrashim, these images, bring home beautifully the idea, the balance, the blend, all the ahdus, that the Kabbalah HaTorah is all about a mixture of Yira and Ahava. We cannot have a connection with Kadosh Baruch Hu without both. We're always committed, no matter what Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh, whether it's by choice, all right, or even if it's not by choice, even if it's Shom Yehei Kiburaschem, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis, and said, that's it, accept the Torah or else. At the same time, Ava. At the same time, it's a sense of loving relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. May we merit, may we be zocha in our own Kabbalah HaTorah, in our own personal relationship with the Torah, and by extension with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our relationship with God, may we merit to balance both images of Matan Torah, of Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis, into our own personal Avodas Hashem. Shkoyach. Have a fantastic day.